brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, yes, it's sippin' time once again. Hello, and welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, wait a minute. Somebody told me there's like a cocoa lemon thing on at 2 a.m. I don't know what kids are doing up in the middle of the night, but they're beating us.
I think it's cocoa melon.
Cocoa melon?
There's no cocoa lemon. It's cocoa, no cocoa melon.
I know it's a cocoa fruit of some kind.
How old's your youngest, right?
40.
20, 29.
Yeah, she's too old for cocoa melon. I think Star Trek's on whenever you want now with Paramount. I've been streaming a lot of Strange New Worlds, man. It's good stuff. They beat us. That musical episode, fantastic.
Dude. Well, lots of stuff beats us. I mean, honestly, you know. And then, you know, I can take you to certain bars in the Philippines where, never mind.
So you might have other things to do at 2 a.m., but if you're listening to us, we're the best thing on.
Yeah, exactly. So was Made Man Bob joining me today on this episode of Whiskey Exploration is Made Man Brent.
Again, I ask, why so many frogs in the basement?
We didn't just that many.
It's like
frogs
an Egyptian
today.
Plague. Yeah. And Made Man Maury.
I love the sound they make when you step on them. They squish loudly.
Squish and croak.
And good old boy Harm.
They are cruel, cruel people, but I'm here drinking whiskey with them. Thanks for having me.
I don't know why you'd step on them and just eat them. But
well,
the they
French
taste like
that.
Chicken.
Yeah. No, it tastes like frog.
It tastes like frog.
But it's yummy, you know.
Yeah, I'd rather have turtle soup than frog.
Oh, God, I like turtle.
Turtle soup is great.
Turtle soup, no. The right amount of you know what makes it? The sherry.
The sherry.
Just put more sherry in it.
Yeah. Turtle tastes like the mud it lives in. Frog's nice and clean. Turtle tastes like the muck it lives in. No.
You're in the wrong turtle.
No.
You know what? It's foie gras and escargot.
You got
all that.
If you got
all that, baby.
You got a turtle poking it. You got a turtle poking its head out? Okay. All right, fat bastard. There. Our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, and coffee, and here are the whiskeys we are going to discuss today. From Laws Whiskey House, we have the Laws Intention. From Port McGee, we have the Port McGee Irish Whiskey 9-Year. We have Arcane Imperial American Malt Whiskey. We have Rampur Select Indian Single Malt Whiskey. And from Isle of Rasse, we have their single malt whiskey, and we also have three different whiskeys that are the components, so it's a sort of a deconstruction class, the peated ex-Bordeaux cask, the peated Chinkapin oak cask, and the peated ex-rye cask. So we're going to go to Brent and ask him to tell you all about our sips rating.
Thank you, Bob. Our SIPs ratings, we'll be tasting and discussing these whiskeys and rating them with these SIPs ratings plus our signature sounds. Here are those ratings now. One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
There's the drunken leprechaun we all know and love.
Oh, no, that's not the drunken leprechaun yet. Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Now that sounds like a drunken leprechaun and a really bad Sean Connery impersonator.
Three sips. Interesting. What was that again?
That sounds like a drunken leprechaun and Mr. Ed.
No, thank that gosh. Sounds like a cartoon Muppet, like dragon type thing. I see a...
Like H.R. Puffin stuff?
Yeah,
oh,
like that.
Yeah. Sid Marty Croft?
One of those.
Ooh, didn't they bring us Land of the Lost and the Sleestaks?
Oh, man.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
Now, that's the leprechaun from Lucky Charms.
Yeah, that's the one. That's
Stars and Blue Clovers.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yes.
That was Puff the Magic Dragon.
Now, I swear I'd never say this, but boy, Justin, we're missing you.
I miss you, Justin.
Would you guys Justin remind me of that next time we do a show and Justin's and those, here?
And those four words that he comes up with.
On a good day. Well, thanks, Brent. So why don't you tell us about the first whiskey that we've got today?
Thanks, Bob. So fans of the show, Laws Whiskey House was founded in Denver, Colorado by Al Laws, a native of Alberta, Canada, who was brought to the area by his work in the oil and gas industry. With a personal passion for whiskey, he decided to open his own distillery, and with that, the Whiskey House was born. Their mash is made using Colorado-grown rye, wheat, and barley from the family-owned Colorado Malting Company located in Alamosa, Colorado, and corn from Wisconsin. Can't beat that Wisconsin corn, can you?
Except did you like skip every other sentence in that intro? Or
sure, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, why do I write this stuff?
It's right, like word salad with you, man. Yeah.
The mash is open fermented for 4 days before distilling twice in their four-plate combination column pot still made Vendome copper and brass works out of Louisville. So this is the Law's intention. It's 118 proof, 59% ABV, 60% corn, 20% heirloom wheat, and 10% heirloom rye.
Heirloom?
Yeah.
Heirloom.
Heirloom.
And some heirloom malted barley.
This is the part where
heirloom. I'm not only a customer, but I'm also a client. Yeah.
Don't forget 10% heirloom malted barley. Oh, listen, God. If they wanted to sorry, pronounce it a different way, they would have spelt it differently.
And if you have those little blue pills, it will help with that heirloom.
They would have spelt it A-I-R loom if they wanted to spelt heirloom. That's all I can tell you. So intention is Law's first vertical marriage.
Oh God!
That's Brent. He has a doctorate in English literature. In case you were wondering,
we have been drinking. Just in case you were wondering.
Okay, it's a vertical marriage of 4-grain straight bourbon, bringing together whiskey ranging from 3 to 10 years old at cask strength. Younger and older barrels create harmony with our signature grain character and rich barrel notes. Intention is the first release of their annual Origins.
Oh my God.
Origins. Yeah.
Oranges.
So
nothing rhymes with oranges.
I know. So the color of this nice copper penny color, beautiful bottle that these come in as well. Mm-hmm. Even these sample bottles they make with the big bottom and
yep.
And the square bottle is kind of nice.
So I like the big bottoms.
Yeah.
So on the nose, I got some a lot of fruits on the nose, and
Freddie Mercury did.
Yeah, I got some cherries and oranges, a little bit of peaches, and at the very end of it, I can get some corn out of it.
Like peaches and herb.
Yep. Yeah. Peaches and herb.
Very smooth.
Peaches and cream.
No, you said herb. So peaches yeah. And herb. So
it goes with the whole Sid and Marty Krofft theme. Mm-hmm.
So on the palate, I get some of those melons as well. I got. So I got some butter pastry on this, got some cinnamon. The black tea kind of came out with it more than I liked, but overall, it had a nice finish to it. Mouthfeel was nice. It didn't quite color everything, but it's like more the front half of the palate for me. And like medium to short finish, I'd say.
So you don't like the black tea?
No, I did not like the black racist tea in this. Son of a I know that.
I like
green
tea.
Green tea, maybe. But the black tea was a little bit overpowering for me.
But where do you stand on big butts?
I do appreciate a big butt. I can't lie.
Justin, that's why we miss Justin, because Justin likes big butts.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Maury?
Well, funny you should ask. I thought this was a lovely
whiskey.
Yeah, it's
funny. I mean, we're sitting at the table reviewing whiskey, and I asked him what he thought. That's funny.
Hysterical. Yeah. Anyway, moving right along here. This whiskey I thought was lovely. It had a lot of fruit on the nose. I love the cherries, the peach, the orange blossom. I didn't get quite as much corn in the nose as
you guys
did. It just
comes at the very end. Really, it's just corn. A little bit of corn.
I didn't really appreciate that. The palate itself, it's again, a lot of things you described, little cinnamon, little buttery, little pastry, medium body, bright. I thought the finish was short to medium. A lovely whiskey. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. It's just there. You know,
this is my thing.
Your wife says.
No, I think she says a lot of things inherently wrong with Maury.
Yeah.
And she kind of points them out.
But in the end, she just says, you're just there.
Yeah. Anyway, I agree with the tasting notes, except for one thing you guys missed. To me, it was hot. Even though it's 59% ABV.
I think that's that black tea that makes it that hot, that hotness.
It's not hot tea.
No, but it's a black tea that's kind of like it. It kind of like comes out, you know.
Yeah, that black tea notes. I mean, I enjoy
you
that.
You really thought it was hot? I didn't find it to be hot.
I mean, I've been drinking high proof stuff for a long time, thanks to you guys. In fact, last night I was drinking a hazmat 140.1 proof whiskey.
And whose was that?
That was a light whiskey from Orlando. Somebody brought me a private sample. Anyway, I'm used to drinking these high proof ones, but that. This tastes hotter than it should be. I don't know what it is. And I didn't get the corn. I agree with Maury there. The ripe cherries and peaches and orange, that's all there. It's a good whiskey. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put some water in this. Let me try it with water. Because I think the way it is at 59% ABV, it shouldn't taste hot, but it does taste hot. Maybe because I think the younger whiskeys are a larger portion of this. They say the barrels are 3 to 10 years old. They don't tell us proportions. I bet you there's more younger whiskeys in here than there are older ones. And I brought the proof down, and I'm enjoying it much more. The orange blossom, there's a little more melon coming out. That buttery pastry really stands out. It's good stuff. Bob, what do you think?
I think it's a very nice effort by the guys at Laws. We've been reviewing their stuff for quite a few years now. Al Laws and his team make very good whiskey, and I've told him before, every year their whiskey gets better. It doesn't mean last year wasn't good. It's just they're getting better every single year. They're turning out a quality product.
Yeah, I like what they're doing there, you know, and this is their first origin.
Yeah, this is the first release, so we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up discussing the whiskey from Laws, the Laws Intention. Yeah, I'm enjoying this one. I think it's a really nice expression. I get all the peaches. I get the orange blossom. I get the honey. I do get that corn pudding on the nose at the end.
I still don't get it. You know, I like what these guys are doing because they always use heirloom ingredients and things that are
heirloom.
They're native to Colorado. They have
a farmer that grows all their stuff for them in Colorado. I mean, they're hardcore about keeping it all Colorado.
And some of their earlier stuff was more funky, but they just keep getting better and better.
Yeah. Well, you remember the first time I met Al was in Chicago Whiskey Fest, got years ago. And I think they'd only been around a couple of years at that point. And I was like, how old is this? And I was blown away. I'm like, this is for what you've got, this is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And every year we continue to get samples from them every year, and every year their whiskey just gets better and better and better. I think they're one of the premier whiskey companies in out in the West. I think they're doing a great job. So we're going to be rating this one, the Laws Intention, a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
Okay, Bob, tell us about the next one.
So let's move on to our next whiskey. And that's from Port McGee. So Port McGee is a fishing village on the very south-southwest corner of County Kerry, Ireland.
The name Port McGee comes from the exploits of Captain Theobald McGee, a 18th century smuggler. Having served in the army of King James II as an officer, Captain McGee retired to a life of merchant shipping between France, Spain, Portugal, and Ireland. Thanks to the many inlets around the southwest coast, his trade in contraband spirits, textiles, tea, and tobacco was a little bit hard to police and was therefore accordingly very profitable. He married Bridget Morgell, the widow of a rich Dingle merchant and also the daughter of the then representative for Dingle, Thomas Crosby. Following Captain McGee's death, Bridget and her sons continued the family business of smuggling, and Port McGee itself developed into the fishing village that we know of today. Port McGee Irish Whiskey was founded in 2017 by two brothers, John and James Murphy, and Stuart McNamara, who is a whiskey blogger and writer and also the man who runs the Irish Whiskey Trail. So what we have here is their inaugural release, the Port McGee 9-Year Irish Whiskey. It's 40% ABV, 80 proof. This is, he was kind enough to gift this to me. This is cask number one. Non-chill filter, triple distilled. It's a blend of 9-year-old single grain whiskey and 13-year-old single malt whiskey, which is finished in a Barbados rum cask. It's released several times a year at this point as a single exclusive cask, and each bottle is handmade.
Single cask.
Yep. That's what I said, exclusive single cask.
You said Ingle.
I said single.
You swallowed your ass. Yeah, and what's a Dingle merchant?
I got something you can swallow.
Nay, don't steal.
I'm stealing Brent's line. You want to know what a Dingle merchant was?
I I did have that question. What's a Dingle merchant? But go ahead.
You
keep
guys
going.
Are dumber than a box of hair.
It's a merchant in the town of Dingle. Because
I thought it was for the brand of Dingle.
Because his wife's father was the mayor of Dingle. So yeah, okay. Color, very, very, very pale straw, you know, typical lighter.
We're 13, sorry.
Lighter Irish, you know, it's Irish whiskey. It's generally going to be a little bit lighter.
The fact, this is mostly grain whiskey, and that's, and you it, you can tell.
Yeah, probably. On the nose, I get a little bit of straw, a little bit of hay, a little bit of grassy. Get a little of a, like a buttered brioche, a little pastry.
I get pastry cream.
Yeah, on the palate. On the palate, I get, it's got a nice mouthfeel. It's got a good viscosity to it. Gives you a really nice coat to the tongue. The thing that I get most out of it is, I get some stone fruit out of this. I get some pear. I get a little bit of...
Pear's not a stone fruit. I'm just messing with you now.
Besides a stone fruit.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of pear on it. Get a little bit of kind of a burnt toffee note on it. A little bit of sweetness, but a little bit of a dark sweetness to it. It's got a nice finish. The finish goes on for a while.
I used to date her, dark sweetness.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. Date. You paid. Okay. It's a difference. But overall, lovely whiskey. What'd you think, Brett?
Yeah, so I got the pears, vanilla, and lemon, along with that fresh pastry on the nose. That the lemon kind of popped me a little bit, you know. Yeah. Then on the palate, pears was the first thing I wrote down. And I like that burnt toffee, lemon again. Just it's bright and fresh.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Is it's bright. It's just a very bright
whiskey.
It's just
a bright and fresh whiskey to drink. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of Irish whiskeys are like that. You know, but this one is nice and bright and fresh, easygoing.
Favorite Irish whiskeys. I'm not a big Irish fan. I prefer Scotch, but this is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is nice. You
it's
know?
Light. So. It's nice. It's entry level. It's easy drinking. It's a all day sipper. You could drink this out by the pool. You could drink this by the fireplace. It's a light whiskey. It's very approachable.
I think it's more grain than malt.
I agree. I think that's a good point. Thank you for pointing that out.
Well, that's most Irish whiskey, honestly. You know, I mean.
Well, there's a good amount of single malts these days too.
Now, yeah, but I mean, just two or three years ago, you know. I mean,
I can't wait for to taste their single malts because these guys are distilling now.
Yeah,
this is purchased juice.
Yeah, obviously. This is source juice. So when they come out with their own, you know, being where they're at, that, you know, surrounded by the sea, that's going to be very interesting. I'm expecting sort of a salty bomori kind of, you know, thing. At least that's what I'm hoping for. So, but again, like Brent said, this one's just, it's
did
fresh.
Anybody pick
it's
up the
bright.
Rum notes? I mean, I'm getting the rum notes with that pastry.
Well, that's,
and the sweet
I think that's
cream.
Where that burnt kind of toffee that yeah, I'm getting.
Right.
You know, you're getting that.
These are Barbados rum casks.
Exactly. You're getting that dark molasses out of it. So I think that's where you're getting that. Without it, I think, you know, you wouldn't get that bottom note.
Yeah,
so.
I think that's what makes this more approachable.
Mm-hmm. But overall, you know, a lovely, lovely whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Port McGee Irish Whiskey 9-year-old cask number one, a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So let's move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Harm tell us about that one.
That's because we love Harm.
Thank you, gentlemen. I have not tasted this whiskey, but let me tell you about it. Arcane Imperial American Malt Whiskey is our next whiskey. It's 41.5% ABV, 83 proof, 50% two-row malted barley, 30% Munich malt, 14% C60 malt, and 6% chocolate malt. Why, you ask? Because Arcane Imperial American Whiskey is made in Brooklyn by a brewer that they distill Imperial Stout. And they use a vacuum still rather than a normal still. So the vacuum still allows them to strip out the alcohol at a lower temperature. By creating a vacuum in the still above it, the boiling point of alcohol is lower, so they can remove the alcohol at a lower temperature. But you also remove other flavor compounds and esters and fatty acids without breaking them down by heating as much. When you boil things, you heat them, you change the chemical compounds a little bit, and that changes the flavor. Now, I'm glad they did this experiment, but
I don't know if they would call it an experiment.
Well, this is what they do. It's got a beautiful package. The bottle is amazing. It's a blue-gray color. It's got a great label on it. It's got this big owl. It's very trendy and gorgeous. And the color of the whiskey is amazing copper. And then you put it to your nose and you smell sulfurous onions, plastic, and what did you say, urinal cake? Yeah, I've not tasted it. The other three gentlemen at the table have tasted it and told me get some crackers ready or a lot of water. So I'm going to do it right now for you. Yeah, I bring it to my nose. It's just
onions and plastic.
Onions and plastic and a little bit of wet, dry, what do you call that? Drywall. Like you get your drywall wet. Yeah, there. That's that. All right. Oh my God.
Oh, I wish this was TV right now. We told you.
Some expressions you can't hide.
That's tough.
Yeah. I think you see that. I think you see that expression through the radio, even.
There's a honeyed sweetness.
Yeah, there is a sweetness there.
There's a honeyed sweetness.
I'll absolutely give you that.
It's a little sultana. And then you got like the sulfuric acid from the badly rotting onion.
Yeah.
And I mean, did they use a lot of hops in their stout or something? Because there's a little hoppiness coming out that should not be in a whiskey ever. Although there are people who do make topped whiskeys in America, I know, and some of them come out great. This isn't it. This ain't it. Bob, what do you think? Did I hit all the notes?
Hard no.
hard no.
Plastic.
Bob's got his glass covered with paper.
Yeah,
he can't. So he can't smell it.
I don't want the smell to knock me over. Plastic, and you know when you are looking through the onion bin in your kitchen, and you find that what is that funky smell?
The one
and
then
that's
rotting.
And you find that one in the back that's all soft. And the thing is like you said, if you taste it, if you fight through those two things, there is a sweetness in there.
There's a sweet. Yeah. You can taste like, oh, this came from an okay beer maybe, but they screwed something.
There's
up
a sweetness and almost an, like you said, a sultana, raisiny kind of flavor underneath, but you have to fight through.
Oh, but don't mistake that because there is a lot of horrible bitter stuff on top of that in your mouth. As
You've got to dig through. It's,
I've taken another taste. I'm going back to see.
This is one of those ones that you just look at and go like, I just I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't understand this
one
as well.
Those old Wild West movies, and the guy orders a shot of red eye, and he takes it. He makes that face. Yeah, that's the face you make here.
Well, yeah, that's the face you have to make. Oh. I mean, you don't take this and then and have this like, you know, what a pleasant.
This is not a sipping whiskey. This is not a shooting whiskey.
It's not
a cleaning your floor whiskey.
This is a dare whiskey.
It's a dare whiskey. Brett, did I miss anything? No, Mari, you want to add anything?
I really don't have a lot to add.
You hit on all the best parts of this, and that was the bottle.
Mm-hmm. The bottle's very well done.
Exactly.
And I'm with him. I applaud the, you know, it's very experimental. Cool idea.
Right. The process. You don't know if you don't try.
Yeah.
You know, so give them a lot of effort, you know, give them an A for effort.
Lots of people do experiments with lots of things, but in the end, if a bunch
of people would have chosen not to bottle it.
Yeah, you don't put it in the bottle. Yes. That's the problem.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that ruins your reputation. What's their second release going to be? Are they going to try it?
I don't know.
I don't have any answers.
Do we have a rating, Bob? Do we?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'll be the first one to say we don't throw around ratings lightly. And we have great respect for the amount of work that goes into creating a spirit, because we've all been in enough distilleries in our lives that we've seen how hard it is. But in this case, the Arcane Imperial American Malt Whiskey, I'm sorry, guys, but one sip. Keep eating the crackers, and eventually scrape your tongue off. So, and here's the thing: going from that, everything's sunshiny from there. So, we'll have Maury tell us about our next one.
Well, thank you. This will be a breath of fresh air. The next whiskey is the Rampur Select Indian Malt Whiskey, 43% ABV, 86 proof. It is 100% Indian barley, first fill bourbon barrels. Rampur Select, the flagship expression of the Rampur single malt line, was first released in 2016, immediately winning many loyal fans, as well as a bevy of international awards, including a double gold at the World Wine and Spirits Festival in San Francisco. The initial distillate offering sold out almost immediately. This is their newest US-only release of Rampur Select. A non-age-stated Rampur Select is matured in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains, where it sees extreme shifts in temperature throughout the year, allowing the whiskey a much deeper level of interaction with the wood than one might see in more temperate climates. So, this whiskey has a nice light copper color. On the nose, it's got a lot of sweetness. I find a lot of red fruit on the nose and just overwhelming sense of sweetness.
No, that's just me, you're smelling.
On the palate, it's nice. It's rounded. It's unctuous. It's viscous. It's palate coating. It's got lots of notes of toffee and baking spice. And then a medium finish. I think this is a really lovely whiskey. It's easily approachable. It's very well made. And I liked it quite a lot. I thought this is something you could really spend the day with on any given Sunday. What do you think, Brent?
I agree with all that. It's just... A lovely expression. Barley is the main thing. You know, when you 100% barley comes out a lot, and it's a good note to have. Very enjoyable, nice palate, nice finish, everything. Nice bright, another one, nice bright light whiskey. I like it. So, Harmeet?
I also like this. You know, India has been producing single malts for a while now. Some of my favorite stuff comes from Amrut, and of course there's Paul John. And Rampur joins those other two distilleries with some really great stuff. They use 6-row barley here, and it has that, if you've ever had any Indian whiskeys, you know that 6-row barley nose. It's got a very citrusy nose to it, very floral. And it's kind of got a nuttiness to it as well. Mm.
You wouldn't think that barley would produce that much citrus on it.
Yeah.
You know? But it does. Mm. It's very, very nice.
It's a very different breed of barley. Yeah. So if I put five whiskeys in front of them and two of them are Indian whiskeys with Himalayan barley, I guarantee both of us could pick them out. Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. So there's two row barley is what we use for Scotland, and there's mostly the type of barley we use in America as well for single malts. And I'm not sure about the beers, but they have so many different types of barley. But six row barley produces more food per acre because there's six rows of corns on the barley on the stalk. But it has a different flavor profile, and it's very distinct to Indian whiskey, and it's more citrusy than we normally get. It's got a honey and a floral note on this whiskey. They did a great job. I really enjoy it. Bob? He's still smelling.
Yeah. It's got a beautiful nose on it. And it is. It's that stereotypical six row nose.
It's like there's some cinnamon. What are the spices you're getting? I mean, I got a little bit of cardamom almost.
Yeah, it's a little bit of cardamom. That citrusy nose. Just a little bit of the barley, you know, the cereal grain on the back. Hmm. But on the palate, it's got a beautiful consistency to it. I get a good bit of citrus up front. You know, it's got a really nice mouthfeel, got a really nice coat to it. It's got a pretty decent finish. It's like everything we've had so far on the show from Rum Pours. Well done. An excellent whiskey. So,
I mean, I'd like it to be stronger.
Yeah. I think if it was maybe 9,500
higher
proof
and
yeah.
maybe an age statement on it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, six years in India is like 25 years in Scotland. So.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, you know, you can only go for a certain period of time, but I do think I'm with you. I think this at a slight, it doesn't have to be cask. I mean, a cask, it might be really interesting.
But
too,
more points in the proof would
help. I think probably 95-ish to 100, I think would probably bring some more of the flavor forward. I mean, what do we know? We're knuckleheads, but overall, you know, excellent whiskey. We'll be back.
But baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue, as slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Hey, and we're back, and we would just finish discussing Rum Pours Select Indian Malt Whiskey. We're going to be rating that a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
And we're going to be moving on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that.
Thanks, Bob. So we're going to talk about this whiskey, and then we're going to break it down a little bit, because this is going to be kind of like our experiment. But this is from Isle of Rosé. Was founded by Bill Dobby and Alistair Day. They chose the Isle of Rosé as providing the ingredients for the perfect dram and began work of establishing their distillery in 2016. On September 14, 2017, the Isle of Rosé distillery opened its doors and spirit was flowing. This flagship expression from Isle of Rosé.
No, we're not doing the flagship.
Oh, yeah, we're not. Okay, so what we're going to...
We're going to skip.
Yeah, what we're doing
is... Well, just explain what that flagship is.
Yeah, so the flagship expression from Isle of Rosé is made from peated and unpeated spirits, matured separately in first fill rye whiskey, fresh chinkapin oak, and first fill Bordeaux red wine casks. The spirit is distilled, matured, and bottled on the Isle of Rosé using water from the island. The six recipe casks are then married together to create the perfect dram, with real elegance, complexity, and depth of character. So we're going to go through the first, the three expressions that make up the product first.
Well, three of the six ones. We're doing the peated versions of each.
Yeah, we're doing the peated, right. So
this is basically a deconstruction class. We're taking three of the components individually and then tasting the whole at the end.
So. Right. So the one I'm going to talk about is the Isle of Rosé. It's a peated ex-Bordeaux cask, 18
out of 664.
Out of 664, 61.7% ABV, 123.4 proof. So this has got a nice, it's a lighter straw kind of color finish to it.
It's got a little reddish hue to it.
A little reddish hue, a little reddish tint to it. The nose, you get berries right off. You get berries on the nose. It's just, you can tell from that Bordeaux cask really comes through. And the berries, grape, on the palate, well, the thing I wrote
cassis
down.
Cassis and blackberry.
Yeah, the thing I wrote down on the palate, smoked grapes.
Yeah.
Is what I wrote down for the palate, because it's just, it's not overly smoked. This is what I like about this, is that it's a light smoke and it doesn't overpower the product. I mean, I was pleasantly surprised when I tasted this, and I very much enjoyed it. So, Maury?
Well, I'm surprised how much you enjoyed this, Brent, because for me, I thought the smoke was not light. I thought it was moderate to heavy-handed, but anything but light.
Just you're a sissy. That could be it.
You know, I think if he likes it because it works so well with the grape, the flavors of the wine. So the cassis and the blackberry coming out, a little bit of graphite. There's a little bit of honey under there, pastry. It works. No, you don't.
It was helped by water. The water opened it up quite a bit and brought a little more of the fruit and mellowed the smoke a little bit. But for me, the smoke was heavy handed. If you like a smoky whiskey, it's a beautifully made peated smoky malt. But I felt that the smoke overpowered a lot of the fruit notes.
I understand that. No, I think it played well. But again, this is not something you can, at this point, I don't know if we can buy this whiskey. Maybe at the distillery they might release something like this.
Yeah, something like that, maybe. But yeah, just what you can buy is the regular Isle of Rosé.
Yeah, so, but I thought it was a little hot because it's at a 61.7% ABV or 123. But then again, it's young. We know it's young. The distillery hasn't been open long. It's young and it's a little bit higher proof, and you know, it's going to be a component of something else. But other than that, I agree with what Brett said. What about you, Bob?
It's got a very pretty color. It's got a slightly tinged pinkish, almost orange hue to it from those Bordeaux casks. But the fruit comes out. You know, the grapes really, really come out. I think they play well with the smoke. I think they're balanced very well.
I mean, I don't like smoke on a general basis. You know, when something's overly smoked, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. And I really think this is nicely balanced.
I think they have,
and smoke and ash destroyed Napa Valley a couple years ago.
Just the right amount.
Work with grapes.
Yeah, isn't that a shame? They had all of that. I mean, they could have just put it in a cask and sent it straight to these guys and made some really great whiskey. skip getting the smoke getting the peated barley. So. I think it was lovely. I think it's a lovely component. Honestly, I think they should just bottle this one on its own. I mean,
I would love to see this one bottled by itself.
Yeah, I think it would play very well on its own. But an excellent whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Isle of Rosé Peated X Bordeaux cask, a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
Really? I gave it higher. I wasn't paying attention.
Oh,
to
no,
you
sorry.
Guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Four sips. Sorry.
Yeah.
Looking at the wrong page. Sorry, guys. Four. Well done. So let's move on to our next one, which is going to be Maury.
The next whiskey is the Isle of Rosé Peated Chinkapin cask. It's number 19 of 56, coming in at 62.1% ABV or 124.2 proof. This whiskey has a pale copper color to it. On the nose, it's a little bit hot. I get a lot of alcohol.
It's hard in my nose.
It's right. And when you smell something and it's hot, you're not expecting that. You're thinking you want to get a flavor, and you get heat.
That's what
just heat.
It's hard to describe.
It had a lot of heat on the nose.
Yeah, it's hard to describe.
And you're right; it's hard to sort through the notes.
It smelled to me like hot oak chips.
Yeah,
it's like burning oak.
And it was hot on the palate too. I found it to be like hot oak on the palate, a little bit tannic. Definitely more oak, tannic, leather notes. And then a little hint of bitterness as it just sort of fades out into the background. An interesting whiskey, but I'd say on its own, not so much.
It'd I don't be think on its blending. Own, but I think blending. I think it gives it, you know, with that
structure, backbone, I think it gives body. It
that bottom layer. Yeah, you
good,
know,
good, good. I agree with that. This is the structure underneath.
Yeah.
For the whiskey we'll be tasting later. Yeah.
Usually the components aren't all that good on their own. It's, you know, it's when you put them together, you're putting it in for a particular purpose. So that's why I was so shocked about the prior one, you know, like how good it was on its own.
Which was an anomaly because you're right. The components are not quite as good.
Yeah. I think they're doing this for the base to get that tannin in, to get that base smoke in.
So Chinkapin's a weird Texas oak that was really popular a few years. Everybody was experimenting, it seemed like. A lot of different people were using Chinkapin oak.
Well, one person starts, everybody else follows, and then tries to figure it out, and then eventually everybody figures out whether it works or it doesn't work.
Yeah, I've not had a Chinkapin oak whiskey that I've actually loved. Yeah,
right now,
there are a few out there.
Well, right now the buzzword is Ambarana, you know. So.
Ambarana is freaking amazing. Oh,
see, the buzzword, he caught on to the buzzword.
Yeah.
No. I've tasted many Ambarana whiskeys, and I've tasted Ambarana-aged gin. Yeah. Oh my God, this stuff is amazing.
So you guys heard, but again, that's the flavor of the day.
Then somebody
will find some weird tree that grows like on the top of a mountain in the Himalayas somewhere, and then they'll, you know, be doing that, you know, 2 or 3 years
until
from now.
It's extinct.
Yeah, the last truffula tree. are you, the Wunsler? So.
Yeah, this is the one that I said. I think they just tried to put this in there to try to hide it because they had it and they just needed to put it in to hide it.
That's what your wife does with you.
Right.
That's why she makes you sleep under the porch. Well,
they only made 56 barrels.
Yeah.
So there's not that much of it.
Yeah. Again, that's, you know, it's a blending component. You know, it's, yeah. They're using it for a purpose, not to be sent out individually, but they were kind enough to send us these so that we could actually kind of take it apart.
It is nice to take it apart like this.
Well, here's the thing. Take a sip of that and then take a sip of the regular single malt and see if you can pick that out. You know, that's the thing.
Oh, hey.
I didn't do that.
Then take a sip of the arcane. See if you can still taste the plastic.
That's the sound of a pen flying across the table.
And I can.
You can pick it out of the chicken?
Yeah.
I think that's what brings
Take a sip and then go back to the single malt.
Right. I don't want to taste that Chinkapin in it, though.
It's right down here. It's right down here.
That's the problem. I think for me, I would have liked to taste it without the Chinkapin. But
I don't think it's bad. I understand why they did it. Mm-hmm. Well, but it's got that heavy oak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you it's got that burnt.
It's not for me.
But taste it. You can... It's not so much that you taste that whiskey, but you can taste that base that it lays.
It's underneath, yeah.
Yeah, see, way down below, it's right there. So that's kind of cool. Well, we're going to be rating the Isle of Rese peated Chinkapin 2 sips, because not so much on its own, but definitely
a component. I don't know if giving even these components ratings is
fair. Yeah, it's...
They're not sold.
It's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to our third component, which is the Isle of Rese peated X rye cask. It's number 18 of 627, 62.4% ABV, 124.8 proof. It's got a very light straw color. On the nose, it's sweet. It's got a little bit of a spice to it on the tip of the nose. On the palate. Oh yeah, I get the rye spice on that right away. There's definitely a rye note to it. See, whereas the one before that was all down in the bottom of the palate, this one for me is all on the top of the palate.
Oh yeah, right over the top.
Yeah, It's all one's up here and one's down here. So now you now you're starting.
It's got enough spice now to clear your sinuses.
Yeah, it's like okay, I get it. They put one in for the bottom, one in for the top, and one in for the middle, and you know that all worked out.
Well, there's actually six components. We're tasting only the peated.
Yeah, the unpeated ones. Yeah, but you know it's got a nice it's got a nice light smoke to it. It's not overpowering. Just enough there to, you know, give you that flavor, but not enough to knock you off your chair. Solid. I enjoyed that one.
I really like this too, but it's, it on the nose, there's nothing there for me.
No, yeah, the nose is absolutely
totally muted.
Yeah.
It's totally muted.
That's just a great word for the day, muted.
Right. Well, this is a very, on the nose, I just got a very light smoke on the nose, and that's it. Hardly anything. Exactly.
I get a little bit of like light pear or lemon. And just a little bit of smoke, and then, but it's so muted, so far down there.
Give it a touch of water, and that lemon comes out.
The lemon comes out. Yeah, try that. But yeah, the lemon one, peel. There you go.
Yeah, this one I enjoyed. I mean, it was,
but only on the palate, not the nose.
But right, but the smoke on the smoke on the nose is very muted. You know, you're not getting a lot of smoke on that nose.
No, it's
on
more palate than nose for the
on
smoke.
The palate. This is all about the spice and bold flavor.
See, now I want the other three.
I want the unpeated
because
ones,
I want all six of them so I can figure out okay this one's doing this and well, this and one's doing
the other
that
thing, we don't know how much of each one
you don't know the percentages
either you know so
that's the blender's art
right.
It's about synergy the whole being greater than the sum of the parts.
But that would be a cool experiment to have all six and then just literally sit down there, write your thoughts down. Okay, which one is doing which in the final product?
The water makes a big difference with this particular one. I think it really brings out the fruit and does not accentuate the smoke.
Yeah, because before that, it was just leather and tobacco. And when you add the water, you get that
and
orange.
Isn't that remarkable?
That orange comes out. And
sometimes you'll get one and you add water and the smoke goes through the roof. And sometimes you'll get one, you add water and the smoke disappears.
Yeah.
It's like, it's
you got
the
leather and tobacco on the rye cask one, or which one are you talking
about? Yeah, on the rye cask one,
yeah.
I didn't even get that. I only get the clove and the cinnamon and the...
All right, well,
maybe there's a little bit. Yeah, there's tobacco. Yeah, you're right, with the water, right.
Well, we're going to rate the Alivresse X Rye Cask. 3 sips.
Interesting.
So that brings us back to the final single malt, which is a blend of these three plus the other three unpeated casks. So we're going to have Brent tell us
his thoughts.
We're going to have Harm tell us.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Dude, because you made me talk about the Arcane.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
I get to talk about a good whiskey today, too.
Let you talk about the inaugural U.S. release of a fine single malt. Yeah, go right ahead.
So Brent already described it earlier. It's a blend of the six components.
These three and then the other three unpeated.
The unpeated ones. So the color is a beautiful gold, and the nose is a combination. It's honey and berries and pear and hay and light smoke and sea salt and caramel. And on the palate, little tarry peat, salt, honey, red berries, cassis, blackberries. And it's got a great mouthfeel, covers your whole mouth, back to front, top to bottom. And I'm getting all the different flavors coming out. There's salt prickling on the edges of my tongue. It's got a nice long finish. This is the way it should be. This is a great whiskey, and you see what the blender's art.
Mm-hmm. But the time and it's really changed in the glass.
Both
time and air and water. This whiskey's evolved a lot. It was very smoky.
Because it's young. Very young.
This is the prime example of the blender's art. You're taking components and making it better than the sum of their parts.
But it was very smoky when it came out of the bottle, and now it's much more balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand. If you're not a big peat head, you may not like this, but this is not a peaty whiskey.
This is not an Iowa whiskey.
No.
All.
This is not over smoked at all.
I mean,
this is
for a northern Scotch?
Rosé is just off the coast of Skye, where Talisker
is. So, I mean, for a northern Scottish distillery, this is a little bit heavier than you normally get. But all in all, well-balanced, great mouthfeel. Like he said, all around the palate, top, bottom, front, back. I think they knocked it out of the park with this one. I really think this is a great whiskey.
I could drink this all day. You're talking about all-day sippers, Maury? I would rather drink this than Irish because, you know, I prefer Scotch. I would make this into a highball, drink it by the pool.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, We're going to rate the Isle of Rasse single malt whiskey a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the show. Thank you, Brent.
Well, thank you for making me taste something that may have damaged you. May have damaged me forever.
You got to kiss a lot of frogs, baby, to get to the
princess. Yeah. That's why the frogs are down here. I understand now.
Would you like me to do a taste bud transplant to replace those damaged taste buds, Brett?
This makes you wonder, you know, people say
we have a surgeon in the house.
People say, why does a dog lick its own backside? And some people say, because it can. Well,
sometimes it tastes better too.
Yes, it tastes better too. Thank you, Maury.
Oh, thanks for being here, Bob. It's been a wonderful day in the basement.
And thank you, Arm.
You know, thanks, Bob, for the experience. I never would have tasted something like this on myself by myself.
Well, I wouldn't make you taste that one by yourself.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback. And you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.